Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Savior, the only Savior of the world, Jesus Christ. Amen. We, the Christ Lutheran Church, are members of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. I want to make that clear because as the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, our denomination believes that this Bible is God's inspired, inerrant, and infallible Word. There is another denomination, a Lutheran denomination, called the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, the ELCA, which does not believe that this is God's inerrant, infallible Word. They call it the inspired Word, but not without error. And because they did not put this into their constitution in 1988, although they debated it, when they rejected this as God's inerrant Word, they set themselves on a journey, which we saw was inevitable, which what happened this last week. Because this last week, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America had their national churchwide assembly, which they have every 2 years, in order to make resolutions and vote on new policies. And what they voted on this week, they passed several resolutions, including those that said that their congregations and denomination are now free to recognize and honor same-sex, that is, homosexual relationships. The second thing, which they have changed their policies on and their rules, this was big, they now allow practicing homosexuals to serve as their pastors in their denomination. And so, what have we to make of this? Well, there's a word in the scriptures that speaks of such a thing in Jude. It says this, "We are to contend for the faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints." This is Jude 3 and 4. "For admission has been secretly gained by some who long ago were designated for this condemnation, ungodly persons who pervert the grace of our God into licentiousness and deny our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ." I watched this debate that they had this week on live streaming video from the assembly, and both sides, those who are against it and for it, quoted scripture. And yet, what I saw there is they tried to make the gospel say, we must ordain practicing homosexuals as pastors. But what I have to say is they've perverted the grace into licentiousness in this case, denying other scriptures, and so they have, in essence, become of the world. Now, as Christians, what are we supposed to be? According to God, we are to be in the world, but not of the world. Nevertheless, by these recent decisions, although many disagreed with it in the ELCA, by these decisions, they have become one with the world. Now, they are a friend of the world, and therefore today they have the world's praise, I'm sure. But at the same time, they have God's grim displeasure, because they have succumbed to the seductions of popular culture, departed from the truth, and denied Christ. And all this with all the pomp and circumstance of a sanctimonious liturgy. So today what I'd like to talk with you about is being in the world, but not of the world as Christians. And what does God say for us to be in the world, but not of the world? Let's take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Paul quotes this, and therefore God says, "Therefore come out from them, and be separate from them, says the Lord, and touch nothing unclean. Then I will welcome you, and I'll be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord God Almighty." And remember what James says in James 4, he says, "Do not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore whoever makes himself a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." And in James 1:27 he says, "Religion that is pure and undefiled is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world." So we're going to talk today about being in the world, but not of the world, lest we go in this same way. And we are tempted to do it every day, maybe not in this particular issue, but in others, to be of the world. So what's God say today to us about being in the world, but not of the world, as our true Father? He says, first of all, remember that at one time you were of the world. Every single one of you. As he says in Ephesians chapter 2, he says, "And you were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the devil, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. Among these we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, following the desires of body and mind, and so we were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind." So can you admit that today, that at one time you're all of the world? We're from the world, but we're not to be of the world anymore. We were born this way. When we were born, according to Adam, according to our first ancestor, we inherited a sinful nature. Like the rest of mankind, we were of the world, and therefore destined, in that case, to condemnation. But the good news is that God has come to take us out of the world. Where did Jesus come from? He came from above. He wasn't of this world. And as it says in John chapter 1, verse 9, the true light that enlightens every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world knew him not. He came to his own home, and his own people received him not. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Do you know that a great change has taken place for you? That God came to call you out of the world so that you're no longer of it, and that you might belong to him and belong to the kingdom above? Are you aliens and strangers and pilgrims on this earth, crossing the landscape of this place as though you're just stopping by at an inn for a night? You know, when you go to Comfort Inn we'll leave the light on for you. Which one is that? You know, and do they still leave the light on for you in Amish country? I don't know. But if you go to a hotel, you don't think you own the swimming pool, although you use it. You don't think you own the continental breakfast or the room or the bed or the TV. You just pass through very lightly. And that's the way we're to pass through this life, lightly. It's not our home. We don't belong here if we've been saved in Christ. And Jesus said in John 12, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the ruler of this world be cast out, the devil. And I, when I'm lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself." Have you been drawn to him? Are you one out of the world with Christ? Jesus said in John chapter 8 to the Jews, "You are from below. I am from above. You are of this earth. I am not of this earth. I told you that you would die in your sins, for you will die in your sins unless you believe that I am he." So there's the word of escape. Faith in the one who came from above, that he died for our sins and rose again. If you believe in Jesus today, you are no longer of this world. You are of the kingdom to come. You have a new home. And we are born into this through our baptisms. Have you been baptized? Jesus says in John chapter 3, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again." You've heard that, right? That word "again" in the Greek is anothren, which is also translated from above, from a higher place. Unless you're born from a higher place, unless you're born from above, you will no way going to see the kingdom of God. But if you are born from above, you will. And he says, unless you're born of water and the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. So water and the Spirit, what's that sound like to you? Absolutely, it's baptism. Born again through faith in the one who died for you, then you are now new. You are an alien in this world that was once your family. So let's talk then for a couple of minutes about how different you really are. You know, you look like the rest of the world. They wear the same clothes. They got the same faces, but they are totally different. And we ought to live differently. Let's look at how God has changed you. Like a butterfly coming out of its cocoon. God, number one, it says in 1 Corinthians 2, "You've not received the spirit of the world, but we've received the spirit which is from God, that we might understand the gifts bestowed on us by God." In other words, you have a new mind. A new mind so that you can read this book, which the world reads. They have a book, a Bible too, but they can't understand it. You have the spirit, not of the world, but of God, so you can read it and understand it by his help. Secondly, you have a new father. as it says in Romans 8, you didn't receive the spirit of slavery, fall back into fear, but the spirit of sonship. When we cry, Abba, Father, it's the Spirit himself bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. So a new mind, a new father. How about a new focus in life? What do you look at in the world? Are you fixated on the things of this earth? Do you speak of the things of this earth? Well, for us, as Christians, our new aim is this. And he died for all, that those who live might live no longer for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. And we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are passing away, but the things that are unseen are eternal. How about this also? You've been born into a new war. At one time, you were with the world. But now, we contend against angels. 2 Corinthians 10, though we live in the world, we're not carrying on a worldly war. For the weapons of our warfare are not worldly, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. What I'm saying to you today is you are children of the King. You now belong to heaven, just like the angels belong to heaven. We shouldn't be setting our minds on the things of this life. Watch them, but hold them lightly, and don't get enticed in the lusts of the flesh, the lusts of the eyes, and the pride of life, which are not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passes away in the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. And you have a home, a new home. You know, you may like your house here, but that's not your home. Paul says in Philippians 3, our commonwealth now is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus, who will change our lowly bodies to be like his glorious body, by that same power which enables him even to subject all things to himself. So it sounds great, right? We are from above, through baptism, through faith. God's taken us out of the world and doesn't want us to schmooze with it anymore. There's a verb. But the trouble is that once God takes you out of the world, now you have a new enemy. You got trouble right here in River City. You got the devil's venom against you and the world's venom against you. Anybody hear about the Muslim girl who became a Christian this week? Rifka Barry, I think is her name. And if you watch her testimony on YouTube, you'll see her say things like this. You don't understand. I can't go back to my parents. They'll kill me. My dad said to me, if you have this Jesus in your heart, you are dead to me. You don't understand. It's in the Quran. They have to kill me if they love God. I can't go back there. I just want to worship Jesus and freedom. He's my Savior. He's the one for me. I spoke to my parents about the grace and forgiveness of God. They didn't share that with the authorities. You can't send me back. They'll kill me. I just want to be free and speak Jesus to others. Do you see, once she is drawn out of the world from her home family, where she was once accepted, what happens now if she leaves? They want to kill her. And this is true. This is in the news this week. And that's the same thing for us. We have the venom and ire of the world. Jesus said in Luke 12, do you think that I've come to bring peace on earth? Not peace, but division. For henceforth in one house there'll be five divided, three against two, and two against three. Father against son, and son against father. Mother against daughter, and daughter against her mother. Why? Because some are of the world, some are not of the world. Which are you today? If you're baptized and believe, you're not of the world. We've got to be separate in that way, although we still live in the world. And Jesus said in John 15, if the world hates you, it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you're not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. And I'm sure if you go down to Walmart today and start preaching Jesus out in the open, you'll find out just how much you're not of the world. So here's the warning for you today, is the world wants us back, just like it wants this girl, Rifka, back. Her parents say, you got to send her back to us. The authorities say, go back. She says, I don't want to go back. I can't go back. Well, the world wants you back, too. And consider the ways in which it is. It does this. Worldly pleasures passing before your eyes. How about the movies you watch, media, ads, music you listen to and hear on the radio, non-Christian friends, conversations with the world? What are they trying to do? Come back. Return to us. Come back and be one of the world, and we'll give you the world's praise. And as the devil told Jesus, if you'll bow down to me, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. Has the devil tempted you in this way? Come back. Come back, and I'll give you all these things. Take your life. Find your best life now and not in the world to come. So the world tempts us in these ways, but remember Lot's wife. Don't look back to Sodom, turned into a pillar of salt. Remember Israel on their way to the promised land. Don't look back to Egypt, because they weren't allowed to get to the promised land. They kept looking back. I'll give you more serious, or just as serious, danger, though. It's the world's religion. And this is what we saw this last week at the ELCA National Assembly, was the Oprah Winfrey-type-esque religion on parade at that assembly, which is basically, yes, I'm a Christian, Oprah says. Yes, I'll speak the name of Jesus. But I watched this week an interview on YouTube or one of her shows where she said Jesus is not the only way. And she argued with one of her people in the audience. There can't be only one way. All the ways lead to God, not just one. And so she shows herself to be of the world. And this is what I saw this week at the ELCA convention for many of them, although many stood up and made a good confession, and I'm proud of them for that. Many did not. But what really gets me is that it all came under the auspices or the mask of crosses like this, and albs, and solemnity, and candles, and hymns, and sanctimonious pageantry, and voices like crystalline flutes, as one commentator said at another time. All these things, though, but denying Jesus. Because, what did I hear there? People saying the gospel makes it such that we have to accept practicing homosexuals as pastors and priests. Whereas that's not what the scripture says. So how do you tell the difference between what is of the world and what is of God? 1 John 4, John says, they are of the world. Therefore, what they say is of the world, and the world listens to them. We're of God. Whoever knows God listens to us. He who's not of God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Doesn't that sound interesting to you? I'll tell you how to find out the difference between who's true and who's not. Whoever's with us is of God. Whoever's with them is not of God. But the point is it's whoever speaks the words of God is of God. Whoever does not speak the words of God is not of God. That's the way you can tell the difference. That's the way I could watch this debate. And on one side of the aisle, those who spoke against it were quoting Scripture and saying, we can't do this. The other side was not using Scripture or were using, twisting Scripture. They were not of God. Very simple to see. And Jesus said, which of you convicts me of sin? If I tell you the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you're not of God. And he told Pilate, my kingship is not from the world. If it were, my servants would fight. But my kingship is not from the world. For this was born, for this I've come into the world to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Do you want to know today whether you're of God? Do you hear his voice? Do you accept what he says in here? Do you accept his revelation? Do you hold it fast? If the word of God is not enough for you, well, there was another word that came to the assembly. Can I share that with you now? You know what happened on Wednesday afternoon? While they're just beginning to debate at the Minneapolis Convention Center, this topic of human sexuality, did you hear what happened? That as they're just beginning to debate this topic, there was a swirling in the clouds and a tornado. And on Wednesday afternoon, descended upon Minneapolis. But it didn't, according to the reports I read, course through the city. Do you know what it did? It swirled over the head of the Minneapolis Convention Center where this meeting was happening and zeroed in, targeted, and bullseyed that building. And it came down right on the top of it and destroyed portions of the roof. And it also destroyed portions of the steeple next door, the ELCA church, and they were going to have a pub bar time in the evening for everybody to get together. And that place, you can look on the internet. I saw the pictures last night, beautifully set up before, afterwards, leveled flat and demolished. People were commenting in there. Everybody was taking one side or the other. The conservatives were saying, it's the wrathful finger of God coming down upon this assembly because you're sinning against the Lord and denying His name. The other side said, no, no, it's a new Pentecost. It's the wind of the Spirit bringing in a new era. But remember what we read in Ezekiel. God sent him saying, Son of man, get you to the house of Israel and speak my words to them, but the house of Israel will not listen to you, for they're not willing to listen to me. And that's what I think happened with this tornado. But I'll warn them that this tornado came as a warning saying, don't do this. But the tornado to come, called the day of the Lord, will not come with warning and won't come for a warning, but as judgment. And of that, we must all take care to avoid. That is, to be faithful until that day. And so, what does God say then? Jeremiah 23, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you, filling you with vain hopes. They speak visions of their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. They continually say to those who despise the word, it shall be well with you, it shall be well with you. To everyone who stubbornly follows his own heart, they say, no evil shall come upon you. And I watched this debate, and some side got up and spoke the scriptures. The others would say, the gospel says we must accept everyone. And we do. God certainly loves everyone, but we can't affirm every behavior. And that's their error. So, how do we overcome the world? 1 John 5, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. If you want to overcome the world, be out in the world but not of the world, it's this. Faith in this word. You got to read it, hear it, meditate upon it, and inwardly digest it. Because this is what makes us, God's word, Christ's word, calls us out of the world to be His own. And it's by that word that we're born again, by the grace of God in Christ. And here's my great hope. When God calls me, that no one should seize my crown, that I should fight the good fight of the faith, that I should leave the world behind and press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God. This is my hope as your pastor and as a Christian. He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. The devil is the god of this age, runs this world, but the God of all, the one true God, lives in me and lives in you. And He will keep us faithful until that day. For we know that we're of God and the whole world is in the power of the evil one, 1 John 5. And we know that the Son of God has come to give us understanding, to know Him who is true. And we are in Him who is true, in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. So thanks be to God for giving us a salvation that truly is out of this world and bringing us to a world, a kingdom to come that is forever through His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.